The Die Hard Eagles podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Bet 100 and get 100 at WynnBET.com or download the WynnBET app and start winning today. State restrictions apply. We're also brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Final Four Watch Party. This Saturday, sweat out your bets and win prizes with Ryan, Sean, and Colby over at YouTube.com/SportsGamblingPodcast. Welcome, everyone, to the Die Hard Eagles podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Sean, stacking the money green with my fellow diehards, Rob, Justin. Howie season is upon us. Eagles signing some free agents, letting a couple go. Got some CJGJ drama and, trolling some of the NFC East subreddit. I think we'll start there. Justin, we got Darius Slay. It seemed like he wasn't going to re-sign. I talked myself into him not being on the team, but then they do sign him. We don't end up re-signing CJGJ. It seemed like the deal we offered was ended up being better than the one he took for the Lions. What's your reaction so far on the Eagles secondary and the free agency moves?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot to handle there, especially with Slay and CJ, as you're talking about. The Slay signing, I mean, I was okay with it. It was a little annoying because it was the back and forth. He was going to be released, and then he wasn't, and then he signed on and didn't see them like we gave up much of anything different than originally what we had him in contract for. So I don't know. I was with you, Sean. I actually wasn't going to be too upset with it considering we had Bradbury at that point. I thought we could move on. A kid I really like in the draft is Witherspoon. I think maybe, obviously, I don't think he would have been as good as Slay, especially right off the top. But I mean, you get a rookie of his caliber potentially for 4 years, and then you got room to work with. And you know, maybe pay CJ what we thought we were going to potentially pay him. But Slay's 32 years old. He's played really well. Bradbury's on the other side, so they seem to complement each other well. But you know, he's taking up a bit of money. He is getting older. I don't think it's a bad signing. At the same time, I'm kind of with you. I could have gone the other way and been okay with it if we hadn't. With CJ, I mean, man, it is a little concerning, like the fact that we didn't sign him. But I'm okay with that. He seems to be a bit of a head case. I saw a little bit of Harper was saying. Roman Harper was talking to Steve Smith, and he said potentially the only reason a team wouldn't sign him for what he wants is the fact with his off the field issues. He should have been a first round pick originally. He wasn't. He was a third round pick, and then the Saints let him go. So maybe that's the issue, is the fact that he's just too much to handle, and it was good for 1 year, but not more than that.
Yeah, and you're a huge Reed Blankenship guy, so you don't want CJGJ, eating into Reed's minutes. Rob, if you had to choose CJ, GJ, or Darius Slay, do you think the Eagles made the right choice there?
Oh, tough call. I mean, the interesting thing about that is I don't think it was really ever Slay or, CJ, GJ. It was probably really Slay or Bradbury at the end of the day. I think, the thing with Slay popped up that he wanted his contract restructured, and then that led to him having permission to look for trades and this and that. But I'm not sure that was the Eagles' original plan. I think it was probably more Bradbury versus CJ GJ. And, it's a tough call because, I think corner is the more important position overall. I think if you have good corners, it makes the job of a safety a lot easier. The only thing that concerns me a little bit is, now we have two corners who, while they played at a really high level this year, they're getting a little older. Slay's 32 and Bradbury's what, like 30 or 31?
Yeah, I think he's on the other end of 30.
Yeah.
29.
So,
But he'll be
29.
He'll be 30 so, next season.
You know, I still think we're, you know, going to need to find a replacement. I still wouldn't mind us drafting a corner in, you know, in the draft. But, you know, in the short term, I think, honestly, we might be better off with Bradberry and Slay. But in the long term, you know, maybe 3 years, we probably would have been better with the CJ GJ signing and letting Bradberry go and drafting, you know, a corner this year. But it definitely probably gives us a little more flexibility in the draft. You know, I don't see us taking a safety at number 10. I can tell you that. So it's probably leaning more like defensive line or maybe even a trade back, quite honestly. So, you know, I'm fine with how it shook out. I think Howie had a comment today at the NFL owners meeting saying, like, basically, you know, with CJ GJ, they said, you know, they were very clear that they were going to have to kind of, you know, shift gears. And I think what he meant by that was move to, you know, retaining Bradberry if things didn't get done. And clearly they didn't get done. And, you know, interestingly, I mean, CJ GJ's deal is really, I think it's something around $6 million with, you know, the upside of $8 million with incentives. So I find it hard to believe we weren't giving something competitive to that. I saw there was a tweet by his agent saying ours was more backloaded or something, but you know, I don't know. You never really know what happened, but it just seemed weird how it all went down.
Yeah, it did seem like we were giving him more guaranteed money, which usually that's the thing that matters most to the players. So I don't know what happened there. But yeah, I like CJ GJ when he was here. But I also like, again, you can't spend at every position. It doesn't seem like the Eagles ever really truly value safety. I know we spent a seventh round pick on Reed Blankenship, local legend, but I just don't see them, like, they've never spent a first round pick, or it's been a really long time, on a safety. You know, they've never paid a bunch to bring a safety in. So I think it makes sense to pay cornerbacks, which, again, you know, cornerbacks have been like the hardest thing, I think, for Howie to draft. You know, Maddox has been a good nickel cornerback, but other than that, like, he hasn't had much luck drafting cornerbacks. So if you have to spend somewhere and maybe they are getting a little old, I'm okay with that. Moving over to the free agent signings, Marcus Mariota, Rashad Penny, Terrell Edmonds, Nicholas Morrow, Greedy Williams. Maybe we just each take one and kind of highlight what we like out of it. For me, the one that jumped out, I mean, obviously I do like Rashad Penny. I think that's a nice, again, he's perpetually injured, but he is a real, like, hey, what do you have to lose? He could really go off. And then Terrell Edmonds, who is a safety. And again, if Reed Blankenship doesn't pan out, you know, if whatever happens at safety isn't working out, Terrell Edmonds is really good. I think he's going to compete for a starting job. I mean, really good, I guess, is probably a stretch. I would just say, like, a really competent starter, good tackler. And again, I, you know, it's like Kevon Wallace, who hasn't really been able to stay out in the field. Terrell Edmonds is just like a pro, very good tackler. Last year he had 70 tackles for the Steelers. I think he's a good fit, and we didn't really, his contract isn't really crazy. So again, it's a solid deal here. So, that one was the one signing to me out of these that jumped out as something I was really on board with, and the Rashad Penny, because Penny can have a couple huge games, and with our offensive line, and if he doesn't have to carry the ball a bunch, I think he could be in store for a decent season. But what about you, Rob? Of these free agent signings, any jump out at you that you really liked, didn't like?
Yeah, you know, I'm with you on the Rashad Penny one, and I'll be honest, I didn't know a ton about him. I don't watch a lot of Seahawks games out here on the East Coast, but, you know, he has some crazy stats in terms of his explosive plays, and, you know, you have to think he came here to kind of bet on himself a little and get behind this offensive line, and it seems like clearly his biggest trouble has been to stay healthy. You know, if he can stay healthy, it seems like his stats are really great. So, you know, I'm intrigued by that. And his contract was really low. You know, our whole running back room now between him, Boston, and, you know, Gainwell is a minimal cap hit. So, you know, I do like what they did there. I'm with you. I like the Edmonds signing. I saw somewhere, I think on Reddit, you know, they kind of compared a lot of his stats, and the drop off from him and CJ GJ wasn't that huge from a stat perspective. No. Look, I, and I'm not saying that he's better than CJ GJ. Don't take me wrong, but from a pure statistical thing that I saw, he you know, clearly he can perform at a decent level. So I like that. And then, you know, the one that I had some mixed feelings about was Marcus Mariota. I know Justin, I think it was Justin, was pretty high on bringing him in, or mentioned bringing him in. I like him from a talent level. I do think, and I think I said this on a prior podcast, it would really be beneficial for us to get a quarterback that was mobile and that we could kind of keep running the same offense if Hurts would go out for a game or two. I think one of the flaws with Minshew last year was we really, you know, they were really two different stylistic quarterbacks, and it really warranted when Minshew came in, you know, you almost had to retool the whole offense. And I think to keep things running on all cylinders, it's nice to have a guy that you can kind of keep most of the concepts and run most of the same things. And I think Mariota lets us do that. I think he's a guy that can win us a game or two in a pinch. The only thing that was questionable to me is I know there was a little bit of, you know, questions around how he left the Falcons last year. You know, I think he did get, you know, in surgery or something, but there were some reports that he just kind of like checked out after.
I feel like he just benched. Kind of bailed on the team. I know he's a Hawaii guy, not to insult a fellow Islander like Justin over
there. You know, with that said, though, I mean, if he's coming here, clearly he knows he's the number two guy. So he's coming here accepting that role. Whereas in Atlanta, you know, he was a starter and then, you know, he you know, was benched or, you know, for the other guy. I'm blanking on his name.
Ritter.
But obviously here he knows Hurts is the guy. Hurts is getting paid. So, you know, hopefully he's accepted that role and will be a good teammate.
Yeah, I'm with you guys here. I don't want to echo too much, but as Rob was saying with the stats with Penny, I mean, I think it was a good pickup. I mean, you get him at what is it, 1.3 million? And he's averaging 5.7 yards a carry for his career, where Sanders is at 5 yards a carry, you know, and his last two seasons, he averaged over 6 yards a carry. Now, the issue is, though, his durability, as you guys pointed out. With Mariota, yeah, like, once again, echo same sentiments. He fits into our scheme. He's relatively cheap at 5 million. I don't mind the Edmonds trade. I'm not super hot on it. I mean, there's a reason in my mind that, you know, why wouldn't the Steelers stick with him and pay him more than, you know, the 2.6 million that we offered if he was that good, but maybe he is. I did see some stuff, as you guys pointed out, on Reddit as well with the PFF ratings and whatnot, but who knows? Maybe he's the kind of a missing link. From what I understand, he might be better in the blitz situation, which Desai likes to run. The guy that stuck out to me, though, the most is Morrow. I mean, this is a guy with Chicago who had the most tackles on the team. We got him super cheap. It's almost like how he's playing money ball with these guys right now, just filling in these positions. And they all look kind of decent. Maybe it's just us being Eagles fans talking ourselves into them. But, I mean, Morrow, I know he missed the 2021 season, but he came in last season, played amazing, was healthy, I believe. I'm almost certain the entire season last year. And from what I understand, he played both the Mike and the Will. It seems like Dean's going to be our Mike, so I think he's going to be a great compliment with Dean out there.
Yeah, and especially Dean. And
even the Greedy Williams signing intrigues me a little bit. I mean, the guy has a lot of talent. He hasn't quite put it together, but it's kind of interesting to see if he can do anything here. So I even like that one, just based on kind of, you know, taking a flyer on his potential.
Taking a quick break to talk about our buddies over at WinBet. It's the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network and active in Massachusetts, tons of other states. Obviously, March Madness is here. Perfect time to sign up and get that Bet 100, get 100 offer. Of course, limited to state availability. And for the D-gens, hit that longest long shot parlay, get $1,000 free credit. Spin that parlay wheel. So many ways to win over at WinBet. You gotta love it. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or somebody knows a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And of course, the SGP Masters. We got that contest going on. You can come hang out with me and Kramer, win a 3-night stay at the Circle Las Vegas, hang out with the guys, come check out the stadium swim over there. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/golf party to enter that contest. And if you win, obviously you get the room for free, but if you don't win, you can get that discount room promo SGP over there at the Circle Las Vegas if you want to come hang out. And speaking of hang out, virtual watch party for the Final Four, youtube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast all day on Saturday. And last but not least, we're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. They continue their March Madness College Pick'em. Great way to get in on the action, especially if your bracket's busted. Also, a good way to get down on some college basketball player props. They're not available in your state. Underdog has also some great daily NBA and NHL games. Again, so many ways to win over at UnderdogFantasy.com. Use that promo code SGPN. Get 100% deposit bonus up to $100. UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. And we're back on the Die Hard Eagles podcast.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Yeah, no, and at the very least, I think they're good depth guys. And you know, N'Kobe Dean, who knows? He's young. He probably needs a veteran next to him like Nicholas Morrow. We kind of got pillaged when it came to linebackers and free agency. So I think it made sense to kind of round out some depth. And yeah, same with Greedy Williams. I mean, yeah, I would be shocked, you know, if he sees a ton of playing time, but he's a guy who's started a decent number of games. And at cornerback, I think he can never have too much depth. It's going to be him and Zach McPherson, you know, battling it out for the backup jobs in the outside corner. But again, seems like a competent guy for depth. As far as misses, like guys that got signed out there that you wish we would have, you know, been involved in, I don't know. It's tough. Like there's no, especially like the big guns, like receiver class is pretty soft. The one guy that I wish we would have snagged that the Browns ended up getting that I think we could have got for a decent price in my mind would have been like the perfect third receiver, Elijah Moore out of the Jets, kind of a guy who's just been underused, not properly taken advantage of, tons of quarterback issues for the Jets, and he would have been a great replacement in my mind for Quez Watkins. So for me, that was like a miss. I think we got to figure out a way to get him. But I wouldn't be shocked if we use a first round pick. I'd be shocked if it was the 10th, but that later first round pick, I wouldn't be surprised if we took a shot at receiver. I know Howie Lurie loved the passing game, want to give Hurts as many weapons as possible. And I would be shocked if Quez Watkins is our third receiver next year. So not signing Elijah Moore to me, kind of the biggest miss so far. But Justin, any signings out there so far that you're like, ah, man, we would have loved that guy?
Yeah, Sean, I like your position there on Elijah Moore. I honestly couldn't think of any big misses other than, you know, I mean, I just wanted to point out the loss of Hargrave, I don't think is going to go unnoticed this season. And I know you're asking about misses, but one thing, I mean, I just left a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth is paying Cox $10 million. I mean, that's just one thing where, you know, could it have been a little bit less, maybe $8 million? I mean, even if he had potentially, I think we kind of needed him because it is a would have been a gaping hole. But at the same time, you know, even if we hadn't signed him, I don't think I would have been too upset. It seems, you know, these guys linger sometimes. It's a little bit reminiscent of Peters to a certain extent, but just wanted to point that out.
That is maybe a blind spot or a soft spot for Howie, where he kind of like, you know, falls in love with these guys. It did feel like last year would have been a good time to kind of let Fletcher Cox walk. I wouldn't have been upset I don't know. Is it $10 million guaranteed? Was that the deal?
I thought so. That's what I was sawing on the cap and everything like that. Yeah.
I think I saw there was a question about it today, and it was kind of defended a little that, well, he had 7 sacks last year. And I have seen people say that, well, that's the defensive tackle market. These guys are getting paid. I mean, look at what Hargrave's got, and clearly he's not on Hargrave's level but anymore. But I agree. That's the one signing, you know, I don't know. I mean, do we need depth at that position? Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. So I get it there. But at the same time, I don't want to fall into the trap of overcommitting to, you know, these guys that are getting toward the backside of their career. You know, the one signing that I did like, and we haven't touched upon, was bringing Brandon Graham back.
Okay.
You know, we did sign him, and I thought he had a tremendously productive year last year, obviously. He had I don't know how many sacks he had off top of his head, but he had a great year. You know, I do think it's important to have some veteran leadership. He's a, you know, kind of a leader in there. So I did like that signing, bringing him back. You know, the Fletcher one, I'm not opposed, but I'm a little more skeptical of. We'll see how he plays this year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the good thing is by signing Fletcher Cox, you retain, and Brandon Graham, you retain like that solid core of the defensive line, which really carried the team until they rolled out that trick slippery floor for the Super Bowl and totally sabotaged their season. But I like, now there's, now at 10, you don't have to get a defensive lineman, right? I feel like if you didn't bring in if you lost Cox and Hargrave and Brandon Graham, I think the defensive line would have really been reeling. You throw that in with like learning a new scheme and switching defenses, and maybe that's too much for them to overcome. So I see why he would wanted to maintain some stability there in the defensive line, but I don't know if we need to re-sign Cox and Brandon Graham. I guess I'd be surprised if they both have years they have, but I mean, again, Brandon Graham had a career year, probably should have been in the mix for comeback player of the year. And Cox, you know, it's weird. Like he had a couple down years, it felt like recently, but last year I thought was a good year for him. So I guess I'm okay with it. What about, there is still time, you know, Howie is known for making some late moves. You know, some draft day trades. Of course, that's how we got AJ Brown last year. Huge addition to the team. Rob, is there anyone, either position or particular player that you want to see them do before we start the season? Or
yeah, I mean,
outside of the draft?
There's been, I mean, you guys have probably seen the big report out there that we are on the short list for Ezekiel Elliott. So obviously the Eagles need to
go. We haven't even talked about Zeke yet.
You know, pay him probably $10 million a year. I found that funny. I think we should go there.
What, there's got to be a number though, right? Like you know, there's got to be a number where you go, okay, maybe we actually will take Zeke.
I don't know. I don't even want to go there personally. I just
Justin, would you, right. If we did sign Zeke, would you wear a cutoff like midriff shirt?
No.
Get you a Zeke jersey with the cutoff?
But the first thing I would do is I do know a guy. I make a bet with him on the division every year for $300. Who's going to win, the Eagles or the Cowboys? And he named his son Zeke after Ezekiel Elliott. And my first text would be to him if we did sign him. It's almost – I don't want anything to do with Zeke, but if we got him, I tell you what, I would be happy simply there because is, of that.
Again, like, I don't want Zeke. He seems shot. We got him for the vet minimum. There is some comedy in him playing for us. And you know, he would have like two good games a year against the Cowboys. So I'm not completely opposed to it.
I'm pretty opposed to it.
I don't know. I don't know if I could watch the feed me thing every week.
That gut going. So Zeke, you want to see, is there, I'm trying to think of like holes on.
I am. For me, I mean, this is kind of a wish list item. I don't think by any means we'd be able to pull it off. And I don't even know if I'd want us to pull it off because it would take some picks. But I mean, I like to imagine how our offense would run with Austin Eckler in it. I know he potentially asked for a trade. And just hypothetically speaking, if somehow we could get our hands on him, I think he's the one player in the league that could really, you know, maximize our offense and would be great because. We really haven't had a back who can consistently catch. I mean, Gainwell's probably close to it. Boston Scott hasn't been bad, but we know that Sanders, I mean, he's dropped a few in his career. It's always kind of been his weakness. And Rashad Penny, I was looking at that. I was like, maybe he can catch, you know. But I think he's only had like less than 10 catches in his career. So, I mean, Eckler being a dual threat there, running and catching would be nice in our system. Not that I think it's going to happen, but just kind of a wish list item.
So I'm just going to play devil's advocate there. And if we were going to go that route and put that kind of money into and capital into the running back position, I'd rather just draft Robinson in the first round, honestly. Take advantage of the rookie,
yeah.
The rookie deal for 4 or 5 years, and use him as a weapon instead. And part of me starting to think, like, screw it. Like, the defense has holes. Let's just go all in on offense and make it as unstoppable as possible.
And I don't disagree with that. I'm not talking, like I said, hypothetical. You'd have to give him another contract. He's due. I think he's, what's he due? 6.5 this season. And then I think he's up for another contract. So you'd be giving up picks, and then you'd be paying him some money after that. But it would be fun to see him for a season and see what happens.
Yeah, no, he could be good in the offense. DeAndre Hopkins, I was getting into an argument with my cousin about whether or not we should trade for DeAndre Hopkins. I like DeAndre Hopkins, but I, you know, we already have AJ Brown and Devonta Smith and Dallas Goedert. I feel like if we traded for DeAndre Hopkins, he would end up getting pissed off, or, you know, part of the trade you'd have to give up so much money. Like, I don't know. That deal to me just seems impossible. Like, sure, if he would come and play, fine, but I just don't see him wanting to be a number three receiver. And we got something good going with our 1 and 2. I would be scared to rock the boat here, especially with what you would have to give up for him, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't even touch Hopkins. I mean, the one signing that we haven't talked about is what's going on with Jalen Hurts here? When's this going to be done? What's the hang up? I mean, come on, guys. Let's get it together. Man,
maybe there's trades brewing.
Rob has been driving me crazy in the Eagles group chat. Oh, we're going to trade Hurts. We're going to trade Hurts. And I keep saying, don't put that juju out into the universe. And, you know, because there was already negative juju. I ordered a Breed of One sweatshirt from the Jalen Hurts merch store. The neck hole was too small. It was kind of bulky and heavy, but I did. It was my wife's birthday, so I did give it to her as an extra birthday present, and she really liked it. So shout out to Jalen Hurts and his Breed of One sweatshirt, which I was considering returning, but my wife seems to be enjoying it. And Rob, the negative juju, we can't have that. We need to be full steam ahead. You can't joke around about player trades.
I just love how fired up you get, honestly. I was scrolling Twitter as we're on here. And I think Howie said something like it'll be reasonably soon, whatever that means.
Nice. Will say I like the PR on both sides. I mean, with the way things were being put out there, it seemed like, you know, everything was pretty much done. It was any day now. And I mean, it's been what I think. 3 weeks since our last podcast, or when we're talking about, hey, I think it could be done any day now. And everybody's been, you know, good. Nothing close to a Lamar situation yet. So I guess that's the good thing about it so far.
Yeah, it does. It does seem like it's, you know, going to get done eventually. All right. We got to get it done. All right.
Sean's stressing out.
Yeah. Well, come on. He's the man. We can't have a season without Jalen Hurts. We have the tush push that rule survives. So shout out to the haters complaining. Oh, they're cheating. Well, if it's cheating, why aren't you doing it? Again, those third and ones and fourth and ones, I think that's low-key one of Jalen Hurts' best assets as a quarterback. Like, the fact that any third and one or fourth and one, we can just get it, or those fourth and goal plays, it's just huge. I don't think you can underestimate what getting those fourth and shorts do to keep your drive alive.
Yeah, it was interesting because, I mean, Brady's always been good at, you know, the QB sneak. Granted, it wasn't a tush-push situation, but, like, nobody ever seemed to have an issue.
One guy's touching his tush. He got freaked out by it.
But I mean,
honestly, the Eagles have been pretty solid at the sneak for a long time. I mean, even with Wentz, we were really good.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who you're talking about, Rob. completely blanked that guy out of my life. All right, closing it out. A fun thing we found from an opposing team subreddit. To me, the one that jumped out. Well, there's two. I'll do real quick. For me, there was a post on the Commanders subreddit where the fans are celebrating a Darryl Green punt return for a touchdown that got called back against the Eagles. So even their like celebration post from 1987 is a punt return that technically didn't happen. I did enjoy. So it does sound like there's a chance Zeke may actually go back to the Cowboys. And this poster says, anybody find it weird Zeke hasn't released a goodbye statement? So many Cowboys fans said they were sad that he got released and said he was a Cowboys legend. Some even said they cried. Sorry, just the idea of Cowboys fans crying that Zeke got released is just, it's just too beautiful. Love it. Justin, you got I know you're a big Reddit guy. Anything strike your fancy?
I was just dipping in there a little bit. I mean, yeah, the Commander stuff is always just kind of sad, as you pointed out. it is funny just to consistently see them post stuff about Dan Snyder and getting a new owner, and that's like their biggest excitement. I did sneak into Cowboys as well. It's funny how many people have turned on Dak, talking about potentially he's going to have a new contract soon. And how he's not going to get paid what he thinks he deserves because he doesn't deserve that. I mean, I feel like I couldn't find anybody on there who is a Dak supporter these days, which is pretty funny.
Oh, how they have turned on Dak. It is great.
Who'd they refer to? Brandon Johnson from Tampa Bay. They basically said the offense was like that. It's like Tampa Bay when they won the Super Bowl. He's just Brad Johnson at this point. And that's what their offense is like. That's what they compared it to.
Oh, that's great. All right. That'll do it for the pod. We'll be talking more off-season draft right around the corner. And as always, give us a follow on Twitter at DiehardEagles52. For Rob, for Justin, go Birds!
Go Birds.